You're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, here in the liberal land of long beards, lattes, and lutefisk. And now here are your hosts, Doug Padgett, Brett Johnson, and Hunter Hawes.
It's Brett and Hunter hosting your Minnesota Progressive Repartee for your Friday afternoon. Hopefully you have a nice weekend planned. If you don't have any weekend plans later on in the show, I got a number of events to highlight that you should attend, and some of them have to do with the station here in AM 950. We'll chat about that a little bit later on. Some really cool events taking place around the Twin Cities. Hunter, how you doing in there today? Heard you just came from Valley Fair.
Yes, I wasn't there, but I brought my mom to Valley Fair.
Wait a second.
Like, why I didn't go in.
Why would you not? I love the rides at Valley
Fair. I didn't bring
her
till this afternoon.
Oh, so. I gotcha, yeah.
Yeah, I was coming here.
And then,
he has a season pass, and I don't have one of those.
Oh, okay.
This was her first use of it.
I haven't been to Valley Fair in years, but I remember that always being kind of fun to go to. Yeah. Aren't they getting rid of one of the roller coasters, or did they do that last year? It was the really old one
on the west side of it.
Yeah,
that's a bummer. I loved that. I saw they had some huge new tower that I had never seen, and I don't know what that is.
Yeah. All I can remember about Valley Fair, except going there a couple times for some school trips as a kid, and this kind of shows the growth of the area down there, is that from my bedroom window, I used to actually be able to see the fireworks they would set off at Valley Fair every night.
Wow.
But I don't think you can see those anymore. Granted, that was at my parents' house, and I don't live there anymore, but I think the trees are too thick. There's been too much growth down there, but that was always kind of a nice show you could see every summer, the little fireworks down there.
Yeah, I live close to it, and I never see them. So.
Oh, you've never seen them either? Okay.
No.
Well, at least, yeah, outside of being there. Well, glad to have you with us along for your drive home on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. I want to quickly highlight this. If you missed the Devil's Advocates last night, highly recommend you tune into their podcast, because they had a special treat that their producer texted me about. They had a two-hour exclusive town hall with Bernie Sanders. How about that? That's a heck of a get by those guys.
I actually listened to it last night.
Oh, you did? Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
We got to work on getting one of those candidates on here.
Yes, I know. I reached out to like four recently.
We've had Andrew Yang, but apologies to Andrew Yang. He's no Bernie Sanders in terms of stature.
Well, no, and at the time he certainly wasn't, but now he's much more relevant. When I got him, he was literally like less than 1% and no one knew who he was. So that was actually a good get now in hindsight.
Yeah, we've tried to reach out to a couple of candidates. I've sent some long shot emails out there, so have to see what those guys over in Wisconsin did to get an exclusive town hall with Bernie.
Well, he was in Milwaukee at an event that they were doing, so that's what I heard was his speech last night in Milwaukee, and that's how they were able to. I reached out to Marianne Williamson. That's who I'm trying to get. Oh, yeah.
I don't want her on the airway.
I absolutely do.
You can put her on Mission Accomplishers. I guess we could hear from her. Marianne Williamson.
Well, you're going to get a whole backlash from us Marianniacs.
I don't know if there's that many anymore, because you told me before the debates that you thought she was going to rise in the polls. People were going to pick up on her. I saw some data that her net favorability rating actually went down after the debates. So I don't know if I'm quite buying that she's going to be like the next Andrew Yang. Andrew Yang at least has some substantive policy proposals to go through. I didn't see anything from Marianne Williamson except we just got to all love each other.
I disagree.
What do you think? Okay, so are you a Marianniac over there?
I am intrigued by Marianne.
Okay.
I think she's refreshing. But Marianne's been writing about policy for like two decades, so you can discount her, but she's actually put more thought into her plans of action and like similar proposals as Bernie Sanders than most of the field who are actual senators and whatnot.
I didn't know that. Well, she didn't bring up really any of those policy proposals at the debate, which in her defense, I mean, she got asked maybe like two questions total. But she just, as someone who really knew nothing about her ahead of time, she did not make a good impression on me.
Yeah, she didn't come off well in that, I agree.
And maybe that's why. And maybe that could also be a reason as to why her net favorability rating actually went down, is that there were a lot of people like me who had no idea who Marianne Williamson was. I mean, I literally had no idea what she did as a profession. And yeah, she just did not come across very well. So there we go. I don't know how we got to talking about Marianne Williamson. You think she's going to qualify for the next debate?
Oh, yeah. People are donating. Republicans are donating.
Yeah, that's right. Eric and I talked about that a couple of weeks ago. It was our theme of Republican sabotage against Democrats. And nice transition, by the way, because part three of the sabotage we didn't have time to quite talk about. It's Koch-backed Democrats. And we're going to get to that later in the show. That's a little more sinister than Republicans donating to Marianne Williamson, because that's really not going to do any harm, I don't think, at all.
Mm-hmm.
But is it this second debate where it's going to basically be the same criteria as the first? I know in the September debate, I think that's when they're really tightening the restrictions in terms of who qualifies. Do you know that off the top of your head?
I believe so.
You think this upcoming one is when they're tightening
That this is, again, okay, a loose one. I think there might be a rise. I'll find out and update. But, yeah, I believe it's similar. And the interesting note is that Mike Gravel might be at the second debate.
Mike Gravel, huh? I saw an ad from him on Twitter at one point. I mean, I guess he does have some policy to go through.
Oh, no, Mike Gravel has great policy. And his whole purpose is to push the Democratic Party left. And he's done some amazing things, like released the Pentagon Papers when he was a senator.
Mm-hmm.
And his purpose, get on that debate stage to start throwing some things out there. It would be a good addition. And he's close to it, and there was an interview last night with him on the broadcast on our station. So there was a bunch of great stuff on the station last
night. Mike Gravel, you're jogging my memory with his name now. Yeah, former Arkansas senator.
No,
was it
Alaska, but
Alaska.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm getting him mixed up with I was going to say he was a senator that I think lost in 2008, 2012. He was one of the last red state Democrats. I know there was an Arkansas Democrat that was one of those guys, but Mike Gravel. Yeah, Mike Gravel is from Alaska, of all places.
Like in his 80s, he's very old. If he qualifies, it will be interesting.
Yeah, now going back to that Twitter video I saw, I think he did make the 2008 debates when it was Barack and Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we'll have to check that out. And speaking of debates, we are working on possibly having a debate watching party here at AM950. More details to follow. I know in terms of the debate requirements, the September debate, I think you have to be at 2% in the polls. I'm not sure about the donation threshold you have to reach at that point. But field's going to tighten up, and it'll be interesting to see if we get Bernie, Biden, Buttigieg, Harris, and who am I missing? There's five of them. No, the big five. Okay, Biden. How did I just miss Biden? Yeah, the ultimate front runner. Yeah, the five of those. Those are the only five that I think really have a chance of winning. And Buttigieg, I'm thinking, is starting to go more on the fringe since he's been having some struggles in terms of getting an appeal towards minority voters. But he could make a good VP candidate, at least in my opinion. But I think it's kind of down to 4.5. I'll still put Buttigieg on there because he has raised a ton of money, which I can't quite understand how he's raised that much money. I'm not sure if this just came immediately after he had that big media buzz around him, which was back in April or March, but he raised the most money of any candidate during the past quarter, which really surprised me. I for sure thought that would have been probably Biden or Harris.
Yeah, he could be the Beto O'Rourke of this race, like how Beto raised the most money in a Senate race, but then ultimately lost in the midterm. Like, he might be more Beto than Beto in this race.
Yeah. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Starting off the show talking a little presidential politics, but I want to continue with presidential politics on the other side of the aisle and take it more to a local angle. And that is something you've probably seen happen over the past few days, this news story. Donald Trump chiming in on what's happening in St. Louis Park with the Pledge of Allegiance. As you may have heard in the news over the past couple of days, days Donald Trump has been tweeting about the Pledge of Allegiance controversy over in St. Louis Park, where he said, quote, in his tweet, and I don't do a very good Donald Trump impression, so I'm not even going to attempt it. He said, the Pledge of Allegiance to our great country in St. Louis Park, Minnesota, is under siege. That is why I am going to win the great state of Minnesota during the 2020 election. People are sick and tired of stupidity and disloyalty to our wonderful USA. And as you can probably expect, he definitely got his followers all riled up about what happened with the Pledge of Allegiance in St. Louis Park, as KSTP-TV is now reporting that the front desk phone in the city of St. Louis Park not even ringing anymore. They had to disconnect their phones and actually send all calls to voicemail because city employees told KSTP off camera they've been verbally harassed, which is why calls are being diverted through their automatic switchboard that was previously used after hours or during high-volume call time. So he definitely makes an impact no matter where he is or what he's tweeting about around the country, getting his followers all riled up around what's happening in St. Louis Park. And, of course, the main thing that, well, he didn't necessarily mention in this tweet, but this is obviously what's fired everyone up about this, especially more on the right side of the aisle, is that the Pledge of Allegiance, of course, says, in one nation, under God. Now, what a lot of people don't know, I know people who listen to our station know this, but under God was not added to the Pledge of Allegiance until 1954. It used to be one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice at all. Justice for all, not it all, for all. We didn't have the under God in there. That was not put in until 1954. Similarly, if you look at dollar bills, in God we trust, that you see on the back of your dollar bills, those were not added until 1957. So this idea that this country was based on values of religion and God, well, those weren't even added until the 1950s. How about coins? In coins, of course, you see references to God. Those weren't even added until the 1860s, taking a look and doing a little research on that. So it's not like the founders were even adding that to our currency as well. We're going to talk more about this and how he's gotten his followers really triggered on this issue, the damage it's done, and how he's able to do this. We're going to continue that conversation on the other side of the break, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. You're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee with Brett and Hunter.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
Hi, this is Chad from AM950. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, window, and insulation contractor in the metro. Ryan is so excited about working with AM950 and our listeners that he wants to help us grow.
This is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. I was friends with Chad long before I started marketing with him. I was a bit skeptical of radio advertising before Chad convinced us to run ads. The advertising's been so successful, we want to help the station grow. We've absolutely loved working with the listeners of AM950, and we all know how extremely important this radio station is to the community. To help AM950 grow this summer, Snap Construction will be putting up proceeds to assist the station in marketing on social media. Snap Construction encourages you to follow, engage, share, and interact on the AM950 social media platforms. Together, we can all work to ensure AM950 continues to thrive and grow in our communities. We stand by our work with a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee. For a free estimate or more information on our financing, call 612-333-SNAP or check us out online.
Here's six great reasons to join Sick of Salmon Shares. Truly wild, hook and line caught Alaskan fish the way it was meant to be. Community focused, producer owned by our Alaskan fishing families. Exceptional quality, sashimi grade artisan caught fish. Sustainable and traceable, back to the exact boat and fisherman who caught it. Convenient and affordable, delivered directly to your home with delicious recipes and a variety of membership levels, all 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Learn more at SITKASalmonShares.com and use code AM950 when you join.
At Better Futures Minnesota, our purpose is to fuel and guide our men's desire to turn their lives around and walk a new path toward better health and success. We are intent on changing the costly systems and practices that produce poor results and perpetuate the chaos and cycles of dependency experienced by men who have faced incarceration. We are building a movement that supports personal transformation and a healthy, vibrant community of men. Visit us at betterfuturesminnesota.com to learn how you can support our movement.
I'm Richie Mann with Sitka Salmon Shares, a CSF or community supported fishery. The expression, know your farmer, is a familiar concept in the Midwest, yet know your fisherman somehow gets lost in our grocery stores, fish counters, and freezers. Industrialization has broken that connection between fisherman and consumer. Sitka Salmon Shares is reforging that connection through a sustainable, community-driven model. The world's wild fisheries depend on it. Sitka Salmon Shares creates a direct line from our small boat fishermen right to your door. Learn more at SITKASalmonShares.com.
It's the Minnesota Progressive Repartee with Brett and Hunter on your Friday afternoon, taking you in to the start of your weekend. So, talking about the controversy in St. Louis Park with the Pledge of Allegiance and how Donald Trump has weighed in on the controversy, pretty obvious he's doing this, obviously, to trigger and get his followers riled up, which is exactly what Tim Alberta wrote about in his recent book, American Carnage, which you've seen in the news. Of course, what's gotten the most news coverage today is the quotes from Paul Ryan, and how it's kind of funny to see Trump and Paul Ryan go at it on Twitter. Even Mitt Romney got in on that. But one of the lesser known things in the book that hasn't been reported quite a lot yet is something I actually saw Doug Padgett, fellow rapporteur here on the Minnesota Repartee, he shared on his Facebook page. And I'm surprised this part hasn't gotten more coverage quite yet, because this has to do with how Trump has gotten people riled up with what's happened in St. Louis Park, basically just using his followers as foot soldiers. And here's what he said, according to, again, the author, Tim Alberta, in his book, American Carnage. Trump said those blanking evangelicals at a meeting with Republican lawmakers as he shook his head. In Trump's mind, Alberta writes, he would give them policies and access to authority that they had longed for. In return, they would stand behind him unwaveringly. So obviously, he's completely using his followers to do his bidding. And, well, it's kind of an obvious trade-off right there, is that as long as they vote for him, he'll throw red meat at them, similar to what he's doing with the Pledge of Allegiance in St. Louis Park. Of course, we've seen other examples of Trump duping his followers and, of course, coming off as overall incompetent. You've got to go back and look at the Fire and Fury book by Michael Wolff. Omarosa somehow actually getting a recording device into the White House, which is still just unbelievable to me. And then, of course, we had the recent rape allegations by E. Jean Carroll, along with 16 other women. So what I'm thinking here is, what exactly would it take for you, if you're a Republican person listening, to not vote for Donald Trump in 2020? And what I mean by that is that you don't necessarily have to switch your vote and vote for a Democrat, just either voting third party or not voting at all. I've been curious about what it would take. All you got to do, again, is look at the history of some of these books written about President Trump, or even what you've seen with those recordings with Omarosa, or how about Michael Cohen, or how about what he did with the Obama birthers controversy, or even going back to the late 1980s with the Central Park Five. What would it take for you not to vote for Trump? That's an interesting question, and I'm not sure what it would take. I don't know if it would be maybe a crash in the Dow Jones, which just reached above 27,000 for the first time ever. I don't know, would be a crash of 30, 40, or even 50%, or the unemployment rate going up to 5, 6, 10, or 15%. Would you literally have to see immigrant children getting killed in those detention facilities, literally seeing them getting killed slash murdered? Would it take a prolonged war with Iran or North Korea, an actual terrorist attack? I don't know what exactly that bar would be, Hunter, but I think the bar for us on the left to not vote for a Democrat if they're doing really terrible things, they have a bad background, and they're overall doing a bad job with the economy or their policy areas, I feel like the bar for us would be much low to say, hey, you know what, I'm not going to vote for the Republican candidate, but I'm certainly not going to vote for the Democratic candidate.
Yeah, definitely the Democratic side has a more likely chance of voting
yeah.
Or not voting for the candidate. just kind of the nature of it. But the Republicans, I think you'd have to have kind of a strong libertarian option or something, because it's unlikely that they're not going to vote for Trump with just how loyal they've been.
Or even an unpopular civic duty type thing to say is, skip that race. Don't vote in it.
Yeah, that's what they should do.
But, yeah. On the left are very good at skipping voting in certain races. All you got to do is look at what happens in midterm races outside of 2018.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do. And going back to what it would take for me personally not to vote for a Democrat, I'm going to go back in the time machine here a few years ago when I remember this was talked about a lot on AM 950. If you remember the Trans-Pacific Partnership, that may have been a deal breaker for me if we had a Democratic candidate who was campaigning on passing TPP. I don't know if you remember this, but this was kind of a big issue back in 2014, 15, or 16. This, of course, was a massive trade deal between the United States and areas of Asia, where it would basically be on NAFTA on steroids times about 1,000. There were awful provisions in this thing, with the biggest controversy being the investor-state dispute, where basically if you had a regulation in your state or in your country and a corporation that's not from your country didn't like it, they could actually sue your government for lost profits because of your regulation. That was one of the things that was in the TPP. And again, talking about what it would take for me personally not to vote for a Democrat, that might be one right there where I would certainly not vote for a Republican, but I also probably wouldn't vote for the Democrat if they were to go real big on an ugly trade thing like this. And sorry to say, Obama was in favor of that during his second term. If he was able to run for a third term in 2016 and he had made TPP a major stall or major part of his campaign, I might have actually had a tough time voting for him. I know, unpopular opinion probably with some of our listeners. All right, figured he might call on this. Randy in Coon Rapids. So I got to ask you, what would it take you to not vote for Donald Trump? I kind of went through and talked about what it would take for me not to vote for a Democratic candidate. Yeah. What about for you?
You know, it's kind of a tough call because, you know, until you're there,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's kind of hard. And, you know, I guess at this point, I would have to say if he was doing a lot of things that I didn't approve of or I didn't like or stuff like that, and there was another candidate, and that's what it all boils down to, is you just got to look at the two or three candidates that are running.
Well, how about this, Randy, just brought up? I would encourage anyone on the left or the right to do this. If there's really no candidate that you want to vote for from either of the major parties, skip that race. You can still vote down ballot in other races. Either do that or vote third party. I think that gets missed a lot. That's an option.
I think that's definitely the case. You know, in Donald Trump's situation, I mean, he continues to impress me every single day. I love what he's doing. I mean, since I've been alive and I've seen all the different presidents and stuff that have come and gone, you know, some things I've liked that they've done, some things I haven't liked that they've done. And to me, Donald Trump was kind of a wild card. He was certainly not my first pick when he was running, and I kind of voted for him hoping, you know, because they always say they're going to do a lot of these things, and you vote for them hoping they're going to do something. And if you look in past history, they pretty much fail to do most of the things that they tell you they're going to do. And to this point, the things that Donald Trump's done and the things that he said, I just think this is exactly what we need. And after Donald Trump hopefully wins another 4 years, I hope when he's done, I really hope, even if it's on the Democratic side, I could maybe be interested in voting for that person. I want somebody that's not a politician. I would love a business, someone that's got a lot of business smarts, a business owner, somebody in that realm to run for president. Not a politician. I mean, that to me would be the first way to go, I'm not voting for you because you're a politician. And I think that's what I'm really starting to like about Donald Trump. And the next person that runs, I would love to see somebody, like I said, that's not a politician.
What's the number one thing that you've been most impressed about? What's the number one reason as to why you would vote for him again? What's the big issue for you?
For Donald Trump?
Yes.
I love the things, the way he goes about doing things. It's kind of funny because a lot of times, and I get a kick out of with this whole Iran thing. They tell him, oh, he's just a warmonger because he wants to go to war. Well, then he kind of backs off and does, because he doesn't, I don't think Donald Trump really wants war. And then they go, well, he's showing weakness. So no matter what he does, it seems like he gets criticized. And the things that I, like, for example, the wall and the border, we all know something needs to get done. I mean, it's just absolutely crazy on both sides. And Donald Trump seems to be the first one out of any president that's not going to kick the can down the road. And he's trying to get something done so these people stop coming up here to the border, trying to get into our country legally or illegally. And I hope, and I don't think this is a Donald Trump thing. I think this is our Democrats and our Republicans in the Senate and the House. They're just, they're just idiots. It's so easy. They could pass, they could change it so they could make it so people that want to come to this country can get in here a lot easier. I would love to see other people from other countries come here if they want to work, get a work visa, and not take
That's exactly what's happening now, though.
Oh, it just takes, for these people, if they could come here legally and do the things the right way and not take so long, I think that people would come here and they would do that. And they would do it legally, and they wouldn't be, you know, trying to cross our border and break our laws before they even get here.
But all right, Randy, going to let you go here because we're coming up on the break. Good to hear from you, though. Didn't quite want to get into the immigration topic, but we can do that another day because I definitely have some thoughts on what you were saying, because you seem to kind of contradict yourself right there, saying we have a problem, we need to build that wall and stop immigration, but then, oh, I want to have legal immigration actually come to the country. I don't get what the problem is. I'm actually one of those people who's in favor of open borders. I don't quite see what the problem is in terms of letting a lot of immigrants into the country. If you've been to any small town that's completely dying, that's having reduced population, they would love to have an extra 2,000 or 3,000 people. We'll get into that more on another day. Here's what I wanted to talk about, though, in terms of what Randy was bringing up just a moment ago. Really nothing specific in terms of policy, in terms of what's the number one issue as to why you would vote for Donald Trump again. And maybe I'm kind of missing the point on it as well. I was going to bring up to Randy, well, would it take the Dow going down by 30%, 40%, 50%, or the unemployment rate going up by 15%? But if you heard what he was talking about, it's all about style. It's not so much what Trump actually does. It's the way he does it. And I don't know how you necessarily connect with someone on that.
Yeah, I there are things that you could point out. You could point out the tax bill. That was a major accomplishment for them. You could point out appointing a record number of conservative judges to
Not even a conservative, and you're bringing up specific things that he's accomplished.
Yeah, there are a few. For the most part, though, it has been kind of inept and unable to accomplish any major policy things, because if you remember right away, they failed to do the health care bill. They received zero votes for it in the House, even.
Mm-hmm. Well, Randy, if you're listening, love to have you call back another day. In fact, maybe I'll even talk about this on Monday, because I'd love to get deeper into the immigration issue and how I think, well, both people on the left and the right are missing the point of the entire issue. With the right, obvious, but on the left as well.
I would love to do that. I actually brought this up, and I plan on doing a deep dive, because you have to consider on the left how we speak about this. You just said you're for open borders, but there is a legitimate concern for consider someone. I know a friend who lived in Alabama, now he lives here, but he can't get a job in construction because he doesn't speak Spanish. So there is a struggle for people that is legitimate that we're not really speaking to in the Democratic Party.
I don't know if I necessarily, I mean, I don't think that he's lying on that issue, but there's so many jobs that people who are born in America don't do. And people who are immigrants actually would do those jobs. It's a complicated issue.
But what I'm saying is how we're approaching it now is we are giving those people to Donald Trump because we're not even speaking to them.
Yeah, where he's sitting there thinking, well, I don't speak Spanish, and these guys are saying open borders. Yeah, we do need to also reframe that issue, and that's what I want to do on Monday as well, because I want to get into more details about why we actually should have an open border. But let's go to Reverend Jack in Minneapolis. He wants to respond to Randy. Hey there, Reverend Jack.
Hey, boss. How you guys doing?
All right here. How about you?
I'm doing well. No, I was just thinking about what Randy was saying, and, you know, I like his contribution to the show quite a bit. But, I mean, I disagree with pretty much mostly everything he says. I want to agree with him, but, anyways, point is, this thing about couple things real quick. Not being a politician, that's really kind of ridiculous. Like, you know, you don't want your plumber to come over and not know anything about plumbing. And what I mean by that is Trump doesn't know, like, he doesn't understand, he doesn't know the Constitution. He doesn't know about the separations of power. He doesn't know how government works. And it's clear. He just says the dumbest stuff, you know. And he's a buffoon, and he makes everybody, it's embarrassing to be an American, like, you know, I mean, all over the world, people are like, what in the world is wrong with these people for electing this guy? But the other thing is that, as far as that, you know, I'm so ashamed of, like, you know, I spent my life kind of watching these, like, let's take the evangelicals, for example, you know, I'm a reverend, and I've always been, like, almost embarrassed to tell people sometimes what I do for a living, because I don't want people to think that I'm one of these homophobic, racist, you know, one of these morons that's been on TV since, you know, forever. And then, but I've watched these guys, and, you know, they went through this whole thing with Clinton and, you know, the moral deal with the office of the presidency and blah, blah, blah. And I'm watching them, like, you know, I mean, just allow Donald Trump make excuses and excuses and excuses for behavior that's, I mean, it's what, I mean, illegal, number one, but just the, you know, to stand on that moral high horse and then to just be like, oh, well, you know, everyone makes mistakes or whatever and blah, 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 and let him get away with stuff that's unbelievable. And then still want to talk about, like, well, you know, Obama or this or whoever. I mean, it's sickening. It's sickening. So I think that it's a cult is what I'm saying, this Trump thing. There isn't anything for some people that he could possibly do that would let, you know, they would follow him right off the cliff. You know, he could kill those children on the border himself and they'd be like, well, you know, he's, you know. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm getting a little off, getting a little worked up here, but it's crazy and it's scary.
I think you might have a point there, Reverend Jack, and thanks so much for the call, because I'm not saying Randy's necessarily this person, but it was all about the way in which he does things, not necessarily any of the points I brought up where it would you have to actually see an immigrant child getting murdered at a detention facility? Or would it actually take a massive stock market push? No, it was more about how he actually is able to accomplish what he wants to do. It's more about the style of Trump that appeals to a lot of conservatives. Before we had to break there, Hunter, it sounded like we had a caller who wanted to chime in, or did they not want to go on air with what they were talking about?
It was someone who had a problem with Randy and is not a fan at all.
Yeah, there are
legitimate concern.
Plenty of people, yeah, who are definitely falling into that category. We're going to take a break now because we are running late, and we're going to talk about some events taking place in the community, and then I still want to talk more about Koch-backed Democrats in 2020. That's definitely a thing that's happening, and how it could impact races in Minnesota. We'll get into all of those topics up next on The Repartee. Look out!
This is Heartbeat for the Week. I'm Elizabeth Borob, co-host of Connections Radio, and today I'm going to let you in on a couple of cool arts events happening in the area this weekend. This Saturday, get yourself and your friends down to Hook and Ladder Theater in Minneapolis to see the Roots Rock and Deep Blues Festival. This 9th annual festival will again include all the unique components of previous years that have set this event apart from the myriad of Twin Cities outdoor events each summer. Most notably, this award-winning event continues to be artist-driven, volunteer-run, and a fundraising mechanism for the nonprofit arts organization, the Firehouse Performing Arts Center. In addition to the live performances, this year's festival event will continue to showcase a wide variety of Longfellow artisans showing off an eclectic array of work from paintings, illustrations, and recycled art to jewelry, textiles, and so much more. The gates open at 2 p.m., and this is a 21-plus event. This will happen, rain or shine. There's $15 early bird tickets, and it will be $20 or $25 at the door. Get on to eventbrite.com and look up Roots Rock and Deep Blues Festival 9 to find more information and to reserve your tickets today. Vegan Invasion Food Festival and Drink Sampler celebrates its inaugural event at Lake Monster Brewing this Sunday. Sample unlimited alcoholic and non-alcoholic beverages, including beer, wine, mocktails, kombucha, and more, while DJ Jake Rude spins records on the patio. Enjoy the best plant-based eats from many of your favorite vegan businesses and shop cruelty-free retail vendors as well. Ticket prices include a souvenir glass and unlimited samples from all drink vendors. Food is an additional cost paid directly to the food vendors during the event. General admission is $25 until July 13th, and then it'll be $30 the day of the event. General admission entry starts at 1 p.m. The Vegan Invasion will take place rain or shine. This event is organized by Reverie Mobile Kitchen and the Herbivorous Butcher. Free public transportation passes are provided by Metro Transit. To read more about it, go to eventbrite.com and look up Vegan Invasion. That's Art Beat for the week. I'm Elizabeth Horub, co-host of Connections Radio, airing live Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Hey, all you doggy lovers out there. This is Paul Metza inviting you to Blackie's third annual Memorial Woofinanny, a benefit for Homeward Bound Dog Rescue. At Moe's in Moundsview on Sunday, July 14th, 1 to 4, it's also pup friendly. Bring your dog. Features the music of myself and my friends like Martin Devaney, Courtney Yasmene, Sherwin Linton, David Babb, Brian Drake, and more. All proceeds go to benefit Homeward Bound Dog Rescue. This Sunday, July 14th from 1 to 4 p.m. at Moe's in Moundsview.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for mostly sunny skies today with a high near 90. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 67. Saturday, sunny with a high near 88. And Sunday, sunny with a high around 91.
Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club is one of the most beautiful fine dining restaurants in the Twin Cities. You get the full dinner club experience with delicious food and great live music. Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club is situated by Moore Lake on Highway 65. Learn more at eatlocalminnesota.com.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. You're back on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Brett and Hunter hosting today's show. I have some other callers we'll get to in just a few minutes, but want to go back and talk about something we touched on last week when it was Eric and myself hosting the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. And that's this idea that the Koch brothers are trying to shed their partisan image and actually vote both Democratic and Republican candidates. In a memo obtained by CNBC, Emily Seibel, the CEO of the Koch Affiliated Political Action Committee and also their Americans for Prosperity group, talked about this, how they want to back both Democrats and Republicans, and especially incumbent Democrats who are facing challenges from people on the left, a la AOC, among others. So what's apparently happening is that you're seeing the Kochs getting fired up with the image or fed up with the image that they're very partisan and they only support Republican candidates. So they've gone on to actually back a number of Democratic candidates, including in 2018. This one I didn't know about, but they actually bought ads for Senator Heidi Heitkamp from North Dakota. You might remember her from North Dakota, where she unsuccessfully ran for re-election for Senate. So we're going to see more and more of this. And they talked about in this memo that, again, was obtained by CNBC a few weeks ago, how they're also going to be getting into possibly some local races as well, which is really, really concerning to me. But how could this impact us here in Minnesota? Well, could they get into and actually try to donate money to any of the campaigns specifically? No, but they can definitely use their political action committee to prop up some of these more centrist Democratic candidates that they would rather see in office than a more left-leaning candidate. So let's go through some of the races here in Minnesota. Angie Craig, Dean Phillips probably are not going to be facing any primary challengers, so I don't think you would see any Koch brother money there.
Colin Peterson's a little more interesting, though. I would wonder if he were to actually face a legitimate competition, not only in the primary, but also in the general election, being how friendly he is towards Big Ag, if the Kochs would actually back Colin Peterson through their political action committee, even if he were to face a strong Republican challenger. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibilities. Another race where I could see them getting involved, and this one might fly a little bit under the radar, is Ilhan Omar's race. Ilhan Omar, of course, has faced a lot of controversy, a lot of it, you know, very unfair criticism. Some of it fair, though. But if I don't know who this could be, I'm not going to name any specific people who live in CD5 because, quite honestly, I don't know who any of the names would be that could potentially challenge an Ilhan Omar in a primary race. But let's say you get a wealthy business person or maybe a well-known name in the DFL who would want to challenge Ilhan Omar in 2020 or 2022 or 2024. That candidate would be very appealing to a group like the Koch brothers to try to get in office, even though they would be with the Democrats. They would be further to the right, potentially, than Ilhan Omar. So that could be something to watch if you see any legitimate challenge to an Ilhan Omar or even a Betty McCollum. Watch who the political action committees might back on the other side in terms of challenging one of those two candidates.
And there is going to be a challenge. Even the Democratic Party is said that they're going to put someone forward.
Oh, they have already. They're going to try to get someone on. So, yeah, be very wary about who these political action committees are going to be supporting in a race like especially CD5. Make sure you watch and see and take a look as best you can who's backing these political action committees who might be supporting a challenger to an Ilhan Omar or another candidate like a Betty McCollum or anyone else. The bigger concern I have, though, in terms of the impact of the Kochs getting into trying to raise money for Democrats is going to be at the state legislative level, because we've already seen the impacts that a group like ALEC could have. That's the American Legislative Exchange Council. They basically wrote legislation for Republicans, and they did this all at the local level. If you see the Koch brother money getting into legislative races in Minnesota, again, maybe backing more moderate DFLers if they're facing primary challenges or even in open seats, that's something that would really, really concern me because, well, let's look at one of the big issues that's been in the news, the insulin funding bill. You could potentially have them back a Democratic candidate who says they're in favor of that Alex Smith emergency insulin bill. But of course, when push comes to shove, similar to what we saw with Republicans in the state Senate, they'll ultimately vote it down or say, oh, we just weren't able to quite cross our T's and dot our I's. So I'm really concerned about this, that we're going to be seeing Koch brother money going towards Democratic candidates through their political action committee. Again, another reason why we need transparency and to repeal Citizens United. Let's go to the phone lines now. Hey, Mark in Fridley. Hey, heard you recorded a new bumper for us here on the Repartee. Got around to listening to it. We'll be getting that on the show in the next few days. Really appreciate that.
No problem at all, and anytime we can reference Paul Wellstone, we need to take advantage of it, because that's what we're dealing with here. And you talked about the Dow at 27,000, and you know, I've got to remind you that the reason for this happening is because of United Healthcare stock is trading at in excess of $270 right now. When the Affordable Health Care Act, or Obamacare, started in 2012, their stock was trading at $30. So that is what the problem is. And Republicans are always going to blame Democrats. Democrats are always going to blame Republicans, and nothing gets done. And I want to close here on something with Ilhan Omar, but I want to address the myth of Donald Trump. And people like Randy, you know, God bless you, your belief system doesn't trump facts. And he is recognized as the biggest failure in business in the United States history. He lost more money than anybody in the United States history. And when I talk to people nationally, I say, you know, I'm going to get on a Trump airline flight and fly to a Trump casino so I can celebrate graduating from Trump University, and I'm going to drink some Trump vodka and eat a Trump steak. All of those things don't exist anymore. He's a failure, and he's going to do the same thing to this country. And one of the things that got him elected is what you just talked about with the Kochs. he said in the debates, and remember, this is the time where Lindsey Graham called Donald Trump a fraud, a failure, a bully, a race-baiting, xenophobic bigot, and now he's permanently attached to Donald Trump's buttocks with his lips. Donald Trump said, I give money to everybody. Remember that?
Absolutely. Hey, Mark, going to let you go there because we are running up to the break, and I want to make sure we get to our last caller before we hit that break, but appreciate your phone call. And you're absolutely right that he was a terrible businessman. And what's really concerning, too, especially as we got into the 2000s, is where exactly he was getting his money from to continue running his businesses. A lot of that coming from Russian banks. And I know people are going to say, well, we can find out from that if we get congressional hearings. I'm not necessarily sure, because you're not going to find that information in his tax returns, for example, because tax returns are only going to tell you the amount of money that he has, tell you where that money is coming from. But let's move on to our friend Robert Pilot, who wanted to chime in. He is the host of Native Roots Radio, which you can hear every Saturday from 1 till 3. Hey there, Robert.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, I just wanted to say a quick thing, and I know you didn't want to talk more about this, but the immigration thing is you got to remember this is a race thing. The fact is 30% of the immigrants, legal immigrants, are from Asia, China, not Mexico. We have Irish and Canadians that are illegal here, and you don't hear anything about that. You're not locking any of them up. It's all about race. Listen and listen closely. Thanks.
Hey,
doing
good,
a great job.
Good point there, Robert. Yeah, and we're going to talk more about immigration on Monday. We're going to get into a little deeper conversation about that and framing that issue. But right now we are going to take a break and come on back and talk about, well, what's happening around the community, and also give you a little preview of Hunter's show, Mission Accomplishers, that's airing tomorrow at 7 o'clock. That's on the way on The Repartee.
Any time is the right time to update your music collection, so stop in at the Electric Fetus and browse their massive selection. You'll find everything from rock and pop to international and roots, and so much more, on CD and vinyl. Not only is Electric Fetus the best stop for music, but they also carry a wide and unique range of gifts. Bath products, clothing, books, stationery, candles, incense, you name it. That's the Electric Fetus at 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis, and online at efetus.com.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
Well, I should stop pointing fingers, reserve my judgment of all those public action figures.
Well-timed song there, Hunter, playing the bumper music on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Might have time for another call or two, but do want to kind of go over what's happening around the community with some different events that AM 950 has been a part of, as well as give you some interesting news about some programming upcoming, including a great Mission Accomplishers episode that's going to be airing on Saturday at 7 o'clock. With the fellas, Hunter Haas and Eric Nelson. But you probably heard some ads with this. This is Paul Metza's third annual Memorial Woofinanny, which is taking place over at Moe's Grill in Moundsview. It's a fundraiser for the Homeward Bound Dog Rescue. Paul, of course, actually rescued a dog a number of years ago named Blackie. He's unfortunately passed since then, but if you ever get a chance to listen to some of Paul's old programs on the Wall of Power Radio Hour where he talks about Blackie, highly recommend it. And definitely also encourage you to check out his upcoming Wall of Power Radio Hour. He's actually speaking with a guest who lost his dog in the 1970s, and a psychic actually helped him get this dog back. Basically, this dog was stolen by a wealthy woman in California, and he had to go to some incredible lengths to get that dog back. So make sure you tune into that as well, Wall Hall of Power Saturday at 6 p.m. and then head over to Blackie's third annual Memorial Woofinanny with Paul Metza. Also going to be playing a lot of great music with Paul as well as some of his friends. That is Sunday, 1 to 4 p.m. at Moe's Grill over in Moundsview. All proceeds benefit Homer Dog Rescue. Also, Ferndale Market, you can tour their farm coming up this weekend. It is going to be on Saturday, that's tomorrow, from 10 until 4. You get some hay rides, you get to see how they have their free-range turkeys roam around, and you get to see kind of how that works where you go from farm to your table. So check that out tomorrow, 10 till 4 over at Ferndale Market in Cannon Falls. You can find details about both of those events over at am950radio.com. For programming, we'll get to Hunter and Mission Accomplishers in just a second, but highly recommend you tune in to Ellie Krug's program, Ellie 2.0, on Monday. She'll be speaking with the Reverend Dan Collison of First Covenant Church. He was the pastor of the church, which recently got defrocked by the Evangelical Church due to their stances on LGBTQ rights. It's an incredible interview. Make sure you tune in Monday morning coming up at 7 a.m. So some programming notes for you. And then as well, Hunter Haas, you have an interesting episode of Mission Accomplishers tomorrow at 7 o'clock, correct?
Yeah. So first, I just want to tell people to find the Mission Accomplishers on YouTube as well as AM 950 Radio. The Mission Accomplishers Radio on YouTube and AM 950 Radio. But what's going on, and we talk about this, go into it, is that YouTube has changed their algorithm secretly this past couple of days. And you can no longer have recommended videos for politics that are from independent channels. They only will recommend channels that are from the six major conglomerates in media. So this just quietly happened, and David Pakman talked about it, but if you like anything like us or David Pakman, or Sam Cedar, or even conservatives, you will not be recommended any of their videos on YouTube anymore. You'll get a CNN, a Fox News, and similar things. And we also get into that Pence might not be the vice president in 2020. And this is from the Republicans encouraging Trump. But Trump made up his mind who he wants, and it's Tucker Carlson.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Ivanka.
You laugh, but Tucker Carlson is an extremely threatening vice president because he is the perfect person to be able to put Trump's chaos into words that will potentially resonate with enough people to maybe win.
Oh, on that happy note, let's go to our final caller of the day. Carla has a quote for Randy. Let's go to Carla to wrap up the show. Hey there, Carla. You got
Hello,
about 20 seconds, unfortunately. We're almost
All
out
right.
of time.
All right. I just wanted to read this quickly because it speaks to Randy and others like him. This is a quote from Benjamin Franklin's speech at the Constitutional Convention. In these sentiments, sir, I agree to this Constitution with all its faults, if they are such, because I think a general government necessary for us, and there is no form of government but what may be a blessing to the people if well administered. And I believe,
oh,
Father...
Unfortunately, Carla, we are literally at the end of the show. Sorry we didn't have more time for you, but definitely appreciate you calling. Try back on Monday. That's it for today's repartee.